Let's go. Welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, the Friday edition. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, baseball writer for auburndaily.com, also the host of Locked On MLB Prospects, joined by the beautiful flow of Mr. Harrison Tarr, softball and women's basketball writer for auburndaily.com, as well as the host of the College Loop. And Harrison, it's a giant weekend of sports on the plains. I feel like I say that every week. But this one, I don't necessarily know if we saw it coming, how big it was going to be, because the headline story this weekend, the headline story this week has been Auburn baseball kind of picked up an unexpected home series this weekend with the USC series getting moved from Los Angeles to Southern California. If you were a college student and you knew that you were going to get a trip, a free trip to Los Angeles, how upset would you be to find out 3 days ahead of time that you were not going to get to go to Los Angeles?
Nah, that's a bummer. Yeah, for sure. Especially for a group of younger guys, a lot of youth on this team that may have not had the opportunity to play out on the West Coast yet. That's a disappointing one for sure. And for the handful of fans, I mean, it looked like there was like a significant amount of Auburn fans that were actually going to the USC series based on what I've seen on Twitter. That's a bummer. And I hope you weren't flying Southwest, because I'm sure you're having a hard time getting those tickets refunded. But overall, good for the Auburn program, more than likely, getting that home field advantage in a Power 5 non-con.
Yeah, it's something where you get punished more in RPI for losing at home versus on the road. So obviously, the stakes are a little bit different. You don't get as big of a boost in RPI when you win at home. You get a harsher hit if you lose at home. But the alternative with such short notice was don't play at all. Right. And so you would rather play at home than not have a series at all and just have to do squad games versus your teammates. They did that all spring. And the guy that I really feel bad for, honestly, is Tommy Vail, sixth-year senior pitcher for Auburn, transferred in from TCU. Before that, he was at Notre Dame with Tommy Sheehan. But he's a West Coast guy, and he said this was going to be the only time in his college career that he would have gotten to play on the West Coast, nearer where his family's from. So kind of a bummer there. But Gonna be a really interesting series, and very excited to see what Auburn does against, like you said, a good non-conference team in USC, albeit one with a new head coach, and so a lot of unknowns, which kind of makes it more exciting. Big thing for Auburn, they're gonna throw Chase Alsup again on Friday night. You're gonna see Joseph Gonzalez on Saturday. Those two are official, and then Sunday starter has not been announced yet. I have every reason to believe it's going to be true freshman Zach Crotchfeldt, who came in last Sunday's game in relief and looked very, very good. But it's something where, kind of sticking with what you know for games one and two, the idea is kind of like Indiana, go ahead, win the series, and the pressure's off for game three. I wrote a great thing that I dropped, just going to be self-promoting here for a minute.
Sure.
Wrote a great thing, dropped it early this morning about Chase Alsup. Some of the struggles he had in that start last Friday against Indiana, he only made it through two innings, gave up a couple runs. I think it was two runs, including a home run. And just kind of talking about what happened in that outing, specifically the inability to start at bats with a strike, a lot of first strike fastballs in the first inning, a lot of first strike sliders for a ball in the second inning, and kind of how that spiraled. Has some good quotes in there from Darren Schoenrock, the pitching coach, as well as Butch Thompson. So definitely auburndaily.com. Go check all of that out. I'm really kind of proud of how that piece came together last minute and try to calm some people down who are worried about Chase also not being suited as a starter.
But well, talking, it was a banger.
Yeah, it was. Thank you. It was a banger. But talking about pieces that are at Auburn Daily right now, you dropped a piece last night about women's basketball versus Georgia. And kudos to you. Getting penultimate into a headline is very impressive. Very excited about that. But tell us about last night's game with women's basketball and then what they have to look for, because they play again on Sunday.
Well, first and foremost, they don't give out journalism degrees at Auburn for nothing. So I actually just said the word penultimate one time and they handed me my degree. I was very excited to sneak that one in there. Auburn went on the road last night, and I guess as the show comes out, I'm in this mindset where some of my shows come out the next day. This one's coming out the day that we're recording it. It's a whole phenomenon that I live through every day.
You never know what day it is.
It's just day. There's no word in front of it. It's just day. But Yeah, Auburn went on the road last night and lost to Georgia 70-59 in a game that sounds like it was not as close as it was. Auburn got off on a horrific start. They got outscored 13-9 in the first quarter, where it looked like neither team really wanted a basket. It was one of those like, no, you score. None of us want to score. And really and truthfully, Lindsay, UGA, I mean, their BPI, their net ranking was in the low 30s, I believe 32. And Auburn checks in, and don't quote me on this, but I believe it's 81 in terms of BPI. But this game should have not been as close as it was. Auburn shot itself in the foot more than Georgia beat Auburn. You don't win games when you travel 11 times. There were 11 traveling violations.
I've been told that that's not a good thing in basketball.
Lindsay, I've watched when my little cousin was in four-year-old church league and not seen that many walks in a game. And I think the combined walks, though, it was literally just a walking club last night. I think combined walks, there were 16 or 17 combined walks between the two teams yesterday. And these are SEC teams in late season. What is going on? That being said, Auburn really kind of just shot itself in the foot in large. They didn't convert well from the free throw line. They were 9 of 15 from the charity stripe. So there's 6 of those points, right? And you start of that 11-point loss that you've left just sitting there on the table, and then you turn the ball over 18 times. You can't beat teams when you turn the ball over that much, and yet you're still in it. Auburn brought it within 5 points with a minute and a half left to go. I mean, we know what Aisha Koulibaly, what honestly Scott Grayson can do. They combined for 36 of the team's 59 last night. You add another 10 from Precious Johnson, who probably could have had 13 if she's able to make any free throws. It was hard to watch because you kept seeing these glimpses, and this has kind of been the brand for women's hoops this year under Coach J's second year of the rebuild. So I'm not pinning any of this blame really on anyone, to be honest with you, but Auburn will get behind and then they have to play catch up the entire game. If you're playing catch up every game, your record's just not going to be that good. That goes for any sport. We could be talking about underwater basket weaving. It doesn't matter. It's one of those things where you just keep killing yourself and taking yourself out of games early. And sure, sometimes you can come back and close the gap. I mean, Auburn grabbed its first lead in the beginning of the end of the second quarter. And then you just collapse again because you're so exhausted from having to play catch up.
Quick note, underwater basket weaving has not been the same since that scoring scandal of 2019. Just a huge thing. Go read into it. It's wild. But I do want to ask, so this team right now, 14-13, you have one regular season game left this upcoming Sunday against Vanderbilt before the SEC tournament. Do you see Auburn having a 500 record as they enter the SEC tournament?
Oh, they have to. The season is at worst going to round up at the regular season 14-14. But long term, I think this team could wind up with possibly a winning record at the end of the year, Lindsay, after the SEC tournament's all said and done. I personally expect for them to move out of the first round, advance out of the first round of the SEC tournament. I think they get the job done against Vanderbilt on home turf, or I guess on home hardwood this weekend. The pieces are kind of all coming together, but then this team's still not healthy. You're still missing pieces. We found out earlier this week, Romy Levy's going to undergo season-ending knee injury again. And it's just been a perfect storm of just getting slapped in the face and shooting yourself in the foot and then still finding yourself in games, which should be encouraging going forward. But for the first time since the 2018-2019 season, I do expect this team to be 500 or better by the end of the year.
That is definitely a promising sign for the Coach J rebuild after season two to kind of get back to 500 and set the team up well for next year. Talking about setting the team up well for postseason and next year, men's basketball on the road at Kentucky this week, and we're going to get to that next. But first, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Prize Picks. This season, Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring fun and variety to the picks for 2023. It's a free app. You can choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers, predict the over or under for the next game, and win big prizes if they do well. They also have flex options. You can get paid on winning 3 of 5, 2 of 3, things like that, and have multiple sports in the same parlay. We do a piece for every SEC basketball conference game for men's basketball, where we go out and we pull the Prize Picks lines for both Auburn and their opponents. And you can see it'll be Wendell Green points scored, Wendell Green rebounds, assist, fantasy score. There's even the ones I like, my favorites are the combined points plus rebounds plus assists. Because if a dude goes off in one category, you can usually get that. And that number's oftentimes a little bit better than buying them all separately. So I think that's really fun to do. But the best part of all of this is you can use promo code Auburn to get double on your first deposit up to $100. It's promo code Auburn for double your first deposit. This college basketball season, what we have left of it, win some money with Prize Picks and Auburn Daily. Use promo code Auburn. So talking about that men's basketball team, they are on the road to Rupp Arena to take on a Kentucky team that is not, I think, the same Kentucky team that people think about when they think of Kentucky basketball. Going to be a 3 o'clock tip on Saturday on CBS. So the same time as a lot of these other sports that are going on this weekend. But what does Auburn, so your last three games, you have at Kentucky, at Alabama versus Tennessee. What does Auburn need to do to make sure that they are in the SEC tournament, in the NCAA tournament with a decent seed? How does this kind of break out for Auburn?
Well, in the words of Dickie V, just win, baby. That's the biggest and most important thing. But from a really deep dive analytical standpoint, Lindsay, it starts this weekend. If you can get a road win for the first time, and I had this memorized. I can't remember what the last time Auburn won in Kentucky was or what the year was. But if you can go into Rupp Arena, and it's been a while, and capture a W over a team. I know that we mentioned that this is not this Kentucky team of years past. They're playing the best basketball they've played all year at the right time. Oscar Tshiebwe has kind of figured himself out again. I mean, we knew he wasn't going anywhere, but he's really back to that level that we expected him to be at. Sevier Wheeler's kind of figured himself out, so the guard play is going to get weird. And then you've got Jahni Broome, who's going to not only have to play on defense and try to go toe-to-toe with Oscar Tshiebwe, you've also got Jacob Toppin, senior at UK, brother of, yes, Obi Toppin, of the NBA, who's playing the best basketball of his career to this point. That's also going to be when Shibway's not. Sorry, go ahead, Lindsay.
Sorry to jump in real quick. So if you look at, you have a recent neutral site victory, March 31st, 2019, you beat Kentucky in overtime in Kansas City in a neutral site, 77-71. If you are going to in Lexington, the last time that Auburn basketball won, from what I can tell on auburntigers.com, January 9th, 1988.
Yeah, that's 53-52.
You beat them by one.
Yeah, I couldn't remember if it was 88 or if it was 98. I couldn't remember. I knew it was absurd how long it's been since Auburn's won at Rupp. That building is cursed. And the matchups play no favors. And like I said, Kentucky's playing as good a basketball as anyone in the country right now. And I know that hurts because you look down the stretch and you've got to play Alabama, who's going to be at their full roster, and Tennessee, who is healthy and matches up very well with Auburn in terms of a defensive rock fight. That was awful to watch in Knoxville, and I kind of hope both teams forget how to play defense so I don't have to watch that again. But Auburn's got to get themselves right beginning this weekend, really, Lindsay. And your guards have to play the best brand of Auburn defense that they can. And it's we're going to find out if Jahni, well, we know Jahni Broome's that dude. We're going to find out if he's him this weekend.
Yeah.
He's got a double, two-headed monster to take care of.
Yeah. All right. So I'm not a big basketball guy. I'm a big baseball guy, but I found a fun website called T-Rank that can go out there. It has a tool called TeamCast where you can project where a team's going to be in the postseason based on the rest of their season. So I have all 8 scenarios for Auburn as far as combinations of wins in the last 3 games. And I want you to tell me at the end of all of this, what you think is most likely. So option number 1, if Auburn wins out, you beat Kentucky, you beat Alabama, you beat Tennessee, you have a 98.9% chance of making the field of 64 projected as a number 5 seed.
Yeah.
If you go 2-1, depending on which game of those you drop, you have somewhere in a 97% chance of a bid, and you're projected probably a 7 seed, but maybe a 6 seed if the only loss is Tennessee. Kentucky, Alabama, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky, Tennessee are your options to do the wins. If you go 1-2, depending on if you beat Alabama, Tennessee, or Kentucky, you're somewhere between an 87 and a 90% chance of getting a postseason shot as a projected number 9 seed. If you lose all 3, 58.5% chance of getting in the postseason and projected to be one of the last four teams in, which typically means you have to play an extra game. So win one, you're in. Win two, you'll probably be a favorite in the first round. Win three, you're going to be a high seed facing a double-digit seed. What feels most likely to you as far as likelihood for Auburn basketball in those scenarios?
First off, I expect Auburn to go 1-2 down the stretch. I'll just go ahead and say that. And for those of you who are upset with me, please look, resort to the wall behind me. Don't think that I'm cheering against your team.
We just said it. Auburn hasn't won in Kentucky since like 1988. So it's not going to be wild if they lose this weekend.
I think that Kentucky might be the easiest game left on the schedule. And I know that that's crazy to say, and not just rankings wise. I'm talking about playing at Rupp. I think you're in serious danger of a sweep from both Tennessee and Alabama. And I personally still think Auburn's dancing regardless, as long as they play those games close. I find it very hard to believe, and maybe Auburn needs a little help that they will probably wind up getting anyways. This group is just high enough in their BPI and they've snuck around and hung around in that net ranking long enough that if it comes down to them or option B, and option B's resume is not on the same platform, because where we are also entering the territory where Auburn gets put in the field because they are Auburn, and that does happen, which is a good place to be.
That's what happens when you're a blue blood, baby.
That's right. So blue blood, new blood, whatever you want to call it. I personally do expect Auburn to grab one of these last three. I don't think it's Alabama.
Depending on if they, for some reason, personnel-wise, have to sit a player for different reasons. Not going to go into all the details on this podcast, but if they have to sit somebody, obviously that does change the calculus a little bit.
That swings everything. If Alabama's shorthanded, and I love the little read in between the lines we got going on here, Lindsay, but if Alabama's shorthanded, that changes everything. If Tennessee's banged up, for that matter, coming into Auburn Arena, no game at Auburn Arena is a free win for anybody. But also, we've also learned it's also not a free win for Auburn this year. So there's a lot of pieces there. I think Auburn's dancing regardless, Lindsay, and maybe they wind up being a 12 seed. I mean, that's probably a good safe last resort. But I think that they should park themselves between that 10 and 12 seed after these last three games.
There we go. Speaking of making predictions, real quick before we get out, you and I both have other sporting events we're watching this weekend. Obviously, I'm going to be big on this three-game series for baseball versus Southern California. You have been talking about on your show, The College Loop. You had, I think it was Bri Ellis. The softball team. Yes. And so they are hosting the Plainsman Invitational this weekend. They have five games, Merrimack, Brown, North Dakota State, Merrimack again, North Dakota State again. So they played two teams twice this weekend, but yes, five games. Auburn baseball has three games against USC. Predictions for that series for softball and predictions for baseball. What do we think is going to happen? I'll defer to you on softball because I have room for one ball and stick game in my life, and that's baseball. I'll defer to you on softball.
And I guess in turn, I'll defer to you on baseball because I'm just a Padawan and you're the Jedi Master in this analogy. Auburn softball is going 5-0 this weekend, and I expect at least three or four run rule victories. Thanks for coming out to the entire rest of the field. That's really no disrespect. I was talking to Dylan Lark on the Loop earlier this week, and I'm not just saying this because we're the Bri Ellis fan club, because she's one, hilarious, and two, incredibly good at softball. But this team might be better than we thought they were. I mean, and we were already pretty high on this group. Mm-hmm. They're going to turn some heads when they get to conference play, and right now they're on rookie mode. I would not be surprised. Five games, 29 innings worth of softball this weekend from Auburn. I wouldn't, there's no way that they play 35 innings. It's not happening.
Okay, there you go. Baseball, Auburn, it's – I expect Auburn to probably go 2-1. They're not going to be thrilled with that loss. USC's offense has very much been, or their game so far this season has very much been, get a big inning, score a bunch of runs, and then grind out the rest of the game. So Auburn's pitching is going to have to be on point. I do feel like this early in the season, you've thrown 16 pitchers already. You have an idea of who can do what. And as Butch Thompson likes to say, we're trying to win games here. And so I imagine the hook will be a little bit quicker if you sense one of those big innings coming. You've seen some of your studs, John Armstrong, Chase Isbell, how they're able to come in and completely shut a rally down. So I imagine you're going to see Auburn probably give up one of those big innings somewhere over the weekend, but for the most part, 2-1. I don't necessarily know if you'll have any run rule victories. It's not something I'm going to project ahead of time, but I do think Auburn goes 2-1 this series. Just for fun, gymnastics hosts Georgia Friday night. Equestrian hosts SMU on Saturday. So traffic's going to be nuts on the plains this weekend, but RIP. Gymnastics and equestrian, give me records for those. What do you think? 2-0?
Yeah, I think 2-0. It helps Auburn being at home. I can't speak to the equestrian part. That is something that at the Loop we're really going to try to dive into here in the next couple of weeks, because I know how important the Auburn being a horse school is to a lot of people. And that's not me being a smart butt. I'm being sincere. Gymnastics, it helps a lot being at home, and we've learned that throughout this year. Sometimes the judgments are a little suspect. Auburn's 0-3.
Swayed by crowd noise on the road sometimes.
A little bit, yeah. Auburn's 0-3 on the road, and in my book, they're 1-2. That's neither here nor there. But equestrian's been trending in the right direction from everything I can understand. So I like Auburn to go 2-0 in that situation. And trust me, if I didn't think that Auburn was going to win, you know I'd be the first person to tell you. So,
all right. Where can people go to find out more about what you're doing, keep up with the College Loop and all of that?
So if you want to check me out on Twitter, my handle is, if you're watching the YouTube version of this, it's at By Harrison Tarr. It's right underneath the screen. That's like you're reading my byline, By Harrison Tarr. If you want to check out all of my work, written work at theauburndaily.com, hopefully you can find it from the link in this video, or if you're listening to this, hopefully you know where we're at. If you want to listen to my show, The College Loop, we're talking all three things Auburn between football, women's basketball, men's sports, women's sports, you name it. Auburn barbecue, that's a big conversation on the show that pops up here and there. Yeah, Lindsay, we're going to ask you next time you're on the show. There's no gimmicks there. That's at The College Loop. That's available anywhere you get your podcast. We just got it up on Amazon Podcasts earlier today. I literally 10 minutes before we got on the show, I got a text from Dylan saying that we are available quite literally wherever you listen to your podcast. And if we're not there, let us know.
I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. All of my written work, auburndaily.com. Obviously, this Auburn Daily Show, Tuesday and Friday. Tuesday with Zach Blackerby, Friday with the beautiful Harrison Tarr. And my non-Auburn stuff, Locked On MLB Prospects, Level Where You Get Your Podcast, and on YouTube, that is a daily show Monday through Friday. Enjoy the weekend of sports on the plains, folks, and we'll talk to you on Monday on the Auburn Daily Show.